Likutei Sichas, Chelek Yud, Volume 10 of Likutei Sichas, the portion of Ayigash, the second Sicha. Oh, am I excited about this Sicha? I should say this every week. Of course, every Sicha is very exciting. Here, let's learn the Pasuk. So in the Pasuk, which the Sicha is basing itself on, we're in the story of the, just after the very emotional reunion of Yosef and his brothers. So Yosef has told his brothers, has revealed who he is, and the word has gone out to Paroi's home, leader of Egypt. The word has gone out that Yosef has received visitors, and he belongs to the great family of Yaakov. And Paroi says, you should send gifts to your family. And Paroi says, tell your brothers, this is what you should do. Load up your donkeys and go back to Canaan. Bring your father and his house and come to me, and I'll give you all the good of Egypt, and you'll be able to eat from the fats of the land. And this is what you are commanded to do, says Paroi. Tell them to take wagons for your children and your wives, and bring your father back here to Egypt. Come to Egypt. And don't worry about your vessels that you have out there in Canaan. Everything, the good of Egypt will be open for you. So did the Bnei Yisrael, the children of Yisrael, the children of Yaakov, and Yosef gave them wagons, according to the instruction of Paroi, and he gave them provisions for the way, food for the way. To all of them, he gave a change of clothes, and to Binyamin, he gave 300 silver pieces and 5 changes of clothing. Then continues the pasuk and says that Yosef also sent to his father, Shalach Kazais, he sent like this 10 donkeys carrying from the good of Egypt, and 10 mules carrying food and bread, grain and bread, things that are eaten, things that accompany the eating of bread, for his father to have on the way. Okay, so here we have the Rashi that comments as follows. Rashi comments on the words that Yosef sent like this. So again, Paroi instructed Yosef send wagons and send stuff, and then it says that Yosef also gave clothing to his brothers, and then it says that he to his father he sent like this 10 donkeys, and then in addition to that 10 he donkeys. Okay, so what does this mean? Yeah, ba 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 bum bum. What does this mean? So Rashi jumps in on the word Sholach Kazois. He sent like this, and he says Kecheshbein Hazeh, like this calculation, like this amount. What is the amount? 10 donkeys, etc. And then he says, from the so why does Rashi have to explain anything here? It seems pretty straightforward. To his father, he sent like this 10 donkeys carrying the good of Egypt. So it would seem that what Rashi is trying to explain is that the word kazois, he sent like this, seems to be redundant. It should have said, to his father, he sent 10 donkeys. Why he sent like this 10 donkeys? What's the like this adding? So Rashi says, kazois means like this amount. In other words, that the pasuk is emphasizing that he sent this amount, 10 donkeys, not more, not less. And also, there weren't other gifts that are not mentioned in the pasuk. He sent this. This is the list of what he sent. Okay. But it's difficult to understand this to explain it in this way. I just want to tell you that, because like this. Why would I think that Yosef sent anything other than what is said in the pasuk. In other words, he could have just said to his father, he sent, and then enumerate what he sent. Why would I think there was something else that is being hinted at that the pasuk say? And he sent like this, nothing else, but like this. Just say he sent XYZ. Why? He sent like this XYZ, nothing else. The Mefarshim answer, Mefarshim explain, what's pshat in the intention of Rashi is when he says he sent like this, it's trying to tell us he didn't actually send 10 donkeys. He sent the amount that you would put on 10 donkeys. In other words, we know that Pare said to send wagons. So now we're saying that he sent the amount of food on the wagon that would be the cheshbon, the amount that you would carry in 10 donkeys. And I just would like to tell you that this pshat of learning Rashi is actually in many of the earlier prints of the Chumash and Rashi, it's there as a haggah, as an insert, as a note, and it's brought in the name of the Gohin, the Maharal of Prague. So it growing up, for example, when we this was standard understanding of Rashi, when you read it from a Chumash Rashi, you saw this note that Yosef didn't actually send these donkeys to his father. He sent the donkey, what the 10 donkeys would have been able to take in their maximum weight allowance, they were put onto the agolas, they were put onto the wagons. And one reason for learning that way is because when Yaakov comes later on, when this caravan arrives by Yaakov, it's that the pasuk describes that Yaakov saw the agolas. He saw the wagons. So, actually, what do we do with that? So the Rebbe says in a footnote, that's not a proof. That still doesn't tell us anything, because it doesn't say everything that they saw. It's the wagons that are important, A, because the wagons are being sent to bring him to Egypt, and that's detail of the story that the pasuk wants to accentuate. And additionally, these agolos, these wagons, actually were a sign, a hidden sign from Yosef to Yaakov that he was Yosef, because that was the last thing that they had studied together, was the topic of agolos. Well, agolos, not as wagons, but eglos, egla arufa, the topic of the calf that needs to be sacrificed if somebody dies without anybody knowing who the one who perpetrated the murder. But at any rate, this was a code. The agolos, the wagons, were a symbol and a code that Yosef had sent to Yaakov, and Yaakov, therefore, the pasuk emphasizes that Yaakov saw the agolos. So the fact that we don't see them recorded later, this doesn't tell us whether or not there were actually donkeys sent. So this note wants to explain that Rashi says he did not send actual donkeys. Cheshbon, he sent the amount that would go on donkeys, but they were actually put into wagons. However, says the Rebbe, simply speaking, you can't say that that's what Rashi means, because Rashi says like this. Rashi says, Kecheshbon hazeh, like this amount. And what is this cheshbon? In other words, a cheshbon is an account. If Rashi was trying to say it was referring to the load that could be taken by 10 donkeys, he shouldn't have said kecheshbon as a, like this count. Count is for units like donkeys. If you're putting the weight that a donkey can carry onto a wagon, it would refer to as the masa, as the load of the donkey. So he would have said kecheshbon kazais. The pasuk means to say he sent like this load that could be carried by 10 donkeys. So that doesn't. Therefore, says the Rebbe, it doesn't seem that Rashi means to say that he didn't send actual donkeys. He sent like this amount that donkeys could carry. Especially that the pasuk speaks very explicitly. The pasuk said he sent donkeys. Donkeys, it's literally donkeys. And if Rashi meant to say that he didn't actually send donkeys, Rashi would have made it clear explicitly, not just hinted at it in this way of making an interpretation of kazois. You're speaking to a five-year-old, he would have said, it wasn't actually donkeys, this was the weight that donkeys could have carried, but they were actually sent in the wagons. So therefore, simply speaking, this doesn't fit into into being a good explanation of Rashi's intention. And again, they bring a proof, those commentaries bring a proof, because later on we don't see anything mentioned about donkeys, we just see wagons, so we just said, that's not a proof. Also, we have to understand Why does Rashi say, Rashi, when he explains this word, kazois, sent like this, he also quotes in the heading, shalach kazois, he sent like this. Why is that word shalach? What did he add in explanation of the word he sent like this? Like this, we understand what he's saying, like this cheshbon, whatever this will mean. But what is being added when he also quotes the words he sent? Question number two. After Rashi says that he sent like this amount, then Rashi repeats himself. And what is this amount? That seems to be repetitious. Okay. Give you some little background. There's a lot of action going on here in the footnotes. Just to give you an indication of where this is a delicate pasuk, because there are other mefarshim, Sefurnu is being brought like that, Erachayim Makodesh, that say, and to his father, this pasuk, and to his father, he sent like this, is going back on earlier, right? It says that he gave them clothing. To his father, he also sent like this, going on earlier. He also sent him clothing. And then there's a continuation, and he also sent him 10 donkeys carrying this and this and this. So there are those that say that Rashi comes here to try and say that this sent like this is not going on the clothing that was mentioned earlier, but it's going on what's being mentioned later in the pasuk. Sent like this, 10 donkeys. So that would be a good reason, l'cha'era, why Rashi jumps in and explains something on like this, and this is what I mean, because we could think it's like what was mentioned earlier. However, the Rebbe says that Rashi wouldn't have had to explain that, because in pshutei shel mikra, it wouldn't fit in the simple reading of the pasuk, because the simple reading of the pasuk says, and to his father he sent like this, and then it says, and 10 donkeys carrying from the good of Egypt. It just doesn't read. It reads more simply like this. There's, again, I'm not going to go into the details here of the footnote about this, but I did want to point out that there's a lot going on here. Okay, continues the Rebbe, chapter 2. After Rashi brings the words that he brought me to Mitzrayim, he sent his father from the good of Egypt. He says, we find in the Gemara, what did he send him? That he sent him old wine that old people appreciate. It calms, it soothes, or they have old people appreciate old wine. And the Agada says, Medrash Agada says, he sent him split Egyptian beans, split grisin shel pul, some kind of a bean, some kind of a split bean. We have to understand, we know that, first of all, first question, we know that Rashi, when he brings two explanations on one thing, it's because each one has something that is a little bit lacking, and the other one comes to complement that other explanation. So the question is, and also we know that there's two interpretations. The first one is more close to the simple, literal meaning of the pasuk. That's why he brings it first. And the second one comes to answer something that's missing, some question that still remains with the first interpretation, and gives an alternate interpretation. Question here is, what is better in explaining what the good of Egypt is? When Rashi explains what things were good about Egypt that he sent to his father, why is wine easier to say, and why is it better than the second interpretation, the split beans? By the way, it is known that we will be talking a little bit later on that beans, wine, first of all, the Rebbe brings in a footnote, we know that old people by nature are more cold, their body temperature, and therefore wine is makes them feel better. And we will also see later on that the beans also have some kind of a therapeutic effect. But we'll leave that for a little bit later. Issue number two. Rashi, in most places, when he brings the Chazal, he says, and our rabbis, Raboseinu Darshu, our rabbis expounded. Here he says, the second interpretation, he doesn't say, and when he says the second interpretation, he says, Dover Acher, another interpretation. But here, he says, the first one is from the Gemara, second one is from Medrash Agada, which means that we need to know here where it's from. It has some bearing on understanding the words of Rashi. So we have to understand, why is the adding of this detail helpful in explaining what is these pirushim, these commentary. Somehow it helps us to understand where their source is. That adds to the understanding. What is that addition? Also, we have to understand why when Rashi brings these two pirushim, two commentaries, that the good of Egypt is either wine or split beans. So, A, Rashi adds, why did Yosef chose to be wine? And he gives a reason. He says, because old people have the pleasure from that. In the second reason, he doesn't say why he split beans. Why doesn't he bring a reason? And you can't say there's no reason, says the Rebbe in a footnote, because we see other commentaries do bring reasons that seem to be perfectly plausible. One of them brings the Medrash. The Medrash says that the beans have a therapeutic effect. They help get rid of anxiety, of worry. Another reason is they help sleep. And elderly people sometimes can't sleep. Their sleep patterns are interrupted, and this helps them sleep. Another interpretation in Devek Toiv, the Sefer Devek Toiv, says it's something that's easily, it's soft and good for older people, these split beans. So why doesn't Rashi bring any reason as to why the beans were being sent? And you can't say, says the Rebbe, that because, oh, the five-year-old knows that obviously you send beans to old people. He says, he's a beginning student. How does he know what's good for old people? So why in the first pshat where he said he sent them wine, he says, because older people, this is good for them. Then when he says in the other interpretation from the Medrash, he sent him beans, he doesn't say what the therapeutic effect is. Doesn't bring a reason why he sent him beans. That's one issue. Another issue is, he says, we find in the Gemara. That's an interesting addition that Rashi adds, which why would he have to add that? He could just say, in the Gemara explains X, Y, Z. Why do you say, we find in the Gemara? That what? That he sent him old wine, because old wine is good. Okay. Three, why does Rashi also quote from the Gemara that he sent him old wine? I mean, he's trying to explain. The Pasuk says he sent him from the good of Egypt. Just explain that the good of Egypt is wine. Right? Just as he says, the Medrash HaGodesh says, it was split beans. Why does he bring from the Gemara that the Gemara says that he sent him old wine? Just say that the good means old wine. Okay, so we have all these questions. Basically, what's going on over here in this Rashi? Why does he have to? What does he interpret Shalach Kozayis? That's the first question. What does he say? He sent like this Cheshbon. It seems to me that this Rashi is like what is he adding? And the standard commentary, the standard note that's put in the Rashis that were printed, the usual prints of Rashi, he says, was trying to tell us that he didn't send the actual donkey, he sent the weight. That doesn't fit. In Pshutei Shulmikra, says the Rebbe. Simple reading of the Pasuk. And now we understand, even in the details of Tuv Eretz Mitzrayim, why wine, why beans, and how does, as we elucidated the questions. Chapter 3, Vahabir B'chol Zeh, says the Rebbe, here's the explanation. Ah. You know what is difficult for Rashi here is? Not this extra word, kazois. Behind this interpretation of Rashi, where he brings Kozais, he sent like this, there's a deeper, more fundamental question on this whole saga here. And that is, when we talk about Yosef, what is he trying to do now? He tells his brothers, go up quickly and tell our father to come. Quickly tell him to come. And when the voice went out and the rumor was heard in the house of Pare that the brothers of Yosef has come, so what did Pare also joined the excitement? The Pare says, tell them to come. Tell them to take wagons and come right away. In other words, Pare wanted them also to come right away. And he says, send them wagons. Tell them to come. And he says, tell them not to worry about their possessions. We'll give them stuff here. Everything will be open to them. Just come here. Don't dilly-dally. Right? Come quickly. If they're coming back. So they're going home to pack and come. And Pare is saying, don't even pack. Don't worry about the stuff you leave there. So if that's the case, how much food do they need? Why on earth are they carrying back extra donkeys full of stuff? Right? I mean, Yosef gave what Pare had instructed. Fill their donkeys up with food. Give them stuff to eat on the way. Right? But then Yosef goes and adds another 10 donkeys, another 10 male donkeys. carrying food and bread and whatever, grain, bread, and things that accompany the bread. Since they're coming back soon to Egypt, why does he send them so much stuff? So that's the question here. Ah, in order to answer this question, chapter 4 says the Rebbe, Rashi says, Kechesh ben Azeh, sent them like this amount. What does that mean? He's trying to say that he sent him like this amount, not that we're about to say, like this amount that we already know. What's the amount we already know? What was talked about in the previous Pesukim? Previous Pesukim, it says that Parei told Yosef, tell your brothers, this is what they should do. Let's fill up their donkeys with grain. In other words, when Parei heard that these are the brothers of Yosef, Parei was aroused in a feeling of brotherhood and feeling of a he wanted to have a relationship similar to that which he had with Yosef. As he told Yosef, give them, fill them up with grain and send them home. This is a gift to Yaakov and his household. So if now we understand like this. And he says, Zoisasu, the Rebbe says from the Eir HaChaim, he says, Zoisu, I want you to do this. Don't just think I'm acquiescing to you bringing your brothers. I don't want it. No, please, I'm telling you, this is what you should do. I really want you to move this forward and get Pari to get the Yaakov, your father, and their brothers to come move here. Right? So he says, implicit in this gift that Parai is sending is a need and a kind of an obligation on Yosef to also send gifts to his father to show the love, show respect. If even Parai is sending to Yosef's father, because it's Yosef's father, how much more so Yosef has to send? And even greater than Parai's gifts. And by the way, says the Rebbe in a footnote, this will help us understand why we don't find that Yosef has permission to send this gift. But obviously, Parai, if he's sending a gift like this, obviously he understands that Yosef also needs to send gifts, and at least as good and more, because it's his father. Right? So in other words, Parai is the one who created the benchmark of what the gift would be. And obviously, it's understood that Yosef as a son would have to send that plus. So therefore, it says unto his father, Yosef sent, not just what Parai instructed. He also sent according to the cheshbon, according to this cheshbon being what Parai had instructed to send. He sent according to that same cheshbon. Plus, he sent 10 donkeys, just like Parai had sent. And besides sending what Parai had sent, in other words, that was Parai's gift. Then he sent equivalent to Parai, 10 donkeys. Besides that, he had to, of course, send more. Can't send just like match Parai's gift. This is his father. He has to show his respect to his father. So he sent additional 10 he donkeys. You would ask, why doesn't he send something of value? This is a footnote. Why does he send something? Why does he have to double the amount of livestock that he's sending? Send something. Send some jewels. Send something which has a more monetary value. Says the Rebbe, but according to what we're saying, that this really has to do with the covet, the honor that Yosef has to show to his father. So it's not appropriate that the gift should even not look bigger than what Parai is sending. There's something about being valuable, but you don't see that necessarily, the greatness of the value. It's not bigger, doesn't look bigger. So therefore here Yosef was sending more donkeys laden. This would be an obvious indication that he was not sending less than Parai, not even sending the same as Parai. He was sending more than Parai because it was his father. And this would obviously have been also Parai's intention. You, of course, have to send a gift, and it should, of course, be more than what I'm sending because it's your father. So that's why there's no issue that he wouldn't have had permission to do this. Additionally, says the Rebbe, this was a time of famine, so actually sending food would be actually something of great importance. So that would be another reason why he sent more provisions. In other words, even though they need those provisions, but he was sending it as a gift of respect and honor to at least match and overdo Paro's gift. And it wasn't to keep them alive, because for their parnasa, they weren't going to be so long in Egypt, in Canaan. They were going to come back to Egypt. So that's why Rashi continued. That's why Rashi brings the word sholach. Remember, sholach kazeis kechesh ben azar. He sent like this amount, because this indicates sholach, that he sent. This is a gift from Yosef on his own. And the Rebbe says in a footnote, this is clear. This is a simple reading of the pasuk, that Paro's instruction only covered wagons and filling up the donkeys with grain, the donkeys that the brothers had come with. All the rest was Yosef's gift of respect to his father. Okay. Hey, chapter 5. Rashi continues and says, what was the cheshbon? 10 donkeys. So remember, we asked, why is Rashi seemingly using these redundant words? What is the cheshbon? 10 donkeys. It's not redundant, because it's not so simple that it was 10 donkeys. Why not? All the brothers of Yosef that were in Egypt then, including Binyamin, were 11. They should have had 11 donkeys. So Paro's, when he said, fill up your brother's donkeys and send them back home, that should have been 11 donkeys. And when Paro, right? So how can we say Kazois, that now Yosef sent the same cheshbon, Kazois like this, that Paro had sent, Yosef now sent additional 10 donkeys and 10 he donkeys. Excuse me? Paro didn't send 10, did he? He would have sent 11, because he said to fill up all the brothers' donkeys with grain. There were 11 brothers there. Remember, there's 12 tribes. Yosef was, of course, the staying in Egypt. All 11 were there. Binyamin had been brought down there too. So where do we have... So Rashi says, and what is the cheshbon? Not 11. Cheshbon is 10. In order to emphasize that this is the amount also that Paro sent. It was 10. excuse me, what about 11? Where's the 11th? So he says... The Rebbe explains like this. We can understand from the earlier description of what took place, and Rashi doesn't even have to explain it, that there was only 10 donkeys, because in last week's parashah, the portion of Miketz, it says that the first time that the brothers of Yosef came down to Egypt, Yosef kept Shimon there. And since there was a famine in Egypt, and the only reason to keep Shimon was in order to make sure that he gets a guarantee, a mashkin. It was a guarantee in order to see that they come back and they bring a binyamin. Wouldn't have been any reason to keep his donkey there. He would have sent that donkey also filled with food. They came to buy food. They needed as much food as they can get. So they would have taken Shimon's donkey back with them, which would have meant that one of them had two donkeys to handle. But the donkey wasn't there anymore. And when the brothers came back to Egypt, now they're without Shimon, right? Now there are 10 donkeys. Shimon, remember, 12 tribes, Yosef is there. Shimon had been locked up in Egypt. All the other 10 brothers came with their donkeys. There's only 10 donkeys, right? So now we understand why there's 10 donkeys. So it turns out that when they went back without Shimon, one of them had to handle two donkeys. It also turns out here that now that he sent back a few sets of donkeys, each one is going to have a couple of donkeys. Okay, so it's not... But Rashi is telling us that there were 10 shalach kazois. Yosef sent like what Paro had sent. And what was the amount that Paro had, and what was this cheshbon that Yosef sent and that Paro had sent? 10 donkeys. Ooh, to tell us it wasn't 11. You know what that comes out? That comes out that we answer in this way another thing. Later in the saga, when they find, and Yosef kind of plants the money back in their thing, and they haul them all back and say, hey, you guys stole the money. So the Medrash uses the Rashi uses the words at the end of Mikkei to say, they protested, why should we all be imprisoned? 10 people, that one of them is found to have stolen somebody, you shouldn't punish everybody. And the commentaries say, why did we say 10? Weren't there 11 there? Because Binyamin and Shimon. And so the Rebbe says, according to this, we'll understand. There was only 10 donkeys and 10 sacks that they could search. There may have been 11 people, but the party that had donkeys, sacks, and needed to be searched for, you know, the setup of theft, so to speak, that Yosef had set up, it was only 10. Okay, that's just a little note. So, according to this, chapter 4, 6. So what are we saying? We're saying that Shalach Kozois. Why does Rashi say he sent according to this amount? He's trying to tell us he sent according to... What is this amount? 10 donkeys. He sent like what Pare had sent. And Pare had sent 10. Why 10? Obviously, the Rebbe just gives us the background. That's not 11 because Shimon's donkey had already gone back home. And now they had only come back with 10 donkeys. And now they were going to go back home. They came back. They were traveling with 11 people with 10 donkeys. And now Yosef added to that gift that Pare had said to fill up their donkeys with grain. Yosef sent them like that, but twice as much. Two sets of donkeys. Okay, chapter 6. According to what we said, that Yosef sent... Now that we've established that Yosef wasn't sending parnos of sustenance, he was sending kovod, he was sending an honorable gift, not to keep him alive. So now we'll understand that in order to show his respect and honor, he was going to show things that show that are respectable, not just send grain. So Rashi says, "Mitu." He sent him from the good of Egypt. Rashi says, first pshat is he sent him old wine, which old people find pleasant. He wanted to show him, in other words, things that can create pleasure, nachas, and enjoyment, and not just staples that you need to keep yourself alive. No, he wanted to show that he was sending this as a kovod to his father. However, even though this fits into beautifully into the general story, and now we understand why Yosef would have sent wine to his father, it doesn't really fit so well into the words of the pasuk. The words of the pasuk said he sent him from the good things of Egypt. You know, we never find anywhere that Egypt has good wine. We should call it the good of Egypt. On the contrary, we find that Egypt is praised for its good plants, for its zroim, for its seeds or its vegetation, not for its trees per se, not for its vineyards. And where is he sending it? He's sending it to Eretz Canaan. The land of Israel is praised about its geffen. Eretz chita osa'or v'geffen, was that right? One of the seven species that Eretz Yisrael is outstanding with is grapes. So why would he send... Why, that wouldn't be called Tuv Eretz Mitzrayim. It makes sense in the whole story. He wanted to send him wine because old people appreciate wine. It doesn't really fit so well into the words to send the good of Egypt. So that's why Rashi says that's from the Gemara. And the Gemara is mostly teaching us halacha. So we'll understand that the Gemara says he would have sent him wine because even though how does that fit into the words of the good of Egypt doesn't fit so well, but for respecting his father, it would have been the best thing to send him wine. And that's why the Gemara, and that's why Rashi says it in detail, says, we find in the Gemara that he sent him, he doesn't just say, we find in the Gemara that the good of Egypt is wine. No, because he's not really explaining here. It doesn't fit well in explaining the word, the good of Egypt. It fits well into the concept of that he sent him something to honor him. So that's why Rashi words it that way. And that's also why Rashi says, we find in the Gemara that he sent him old wine. And that because this will explain to us that the reason he would have sent him wine is because of the sending. Because that would indicate that he sent him, the whole purpose of sending was to respect him. So he sent him wine, old wine, because that would be show why the sending was something of respect. However, chapter 7, since in the end of the day it doesn't really fit so well in pshat of the words, he sent him for the good of Egypt. So that's why Rashi brings another explanation. Medrash Agada, the Agada says he was split peas. In other words, according to this, we can understand what does it mean, mitu, from the good of Egypt. Because you know that Egypt is outstanding in its growth, in its beans, in its things that grow closer to the ground. Zroim. Seeds, beans, legumes, and stuff like that. And especially, we know that this was something that was an outstanding dish in Egypt. Interesting that today also it's called pull Mitzri, Egyptian bean. I guess it's something really, for many generations, that's outstanding. So we'll understand, that would be understandable why he sent him this. Because that fits the words, Tuv Mitzrayim, that it's the good thing of Egypt. Rashi doesn't have to explain why he sent it. He was sending him good stuff, the stuff that's good from Egypt. So he's saying that he sent him something that Egypt was outstanding. In the wine, Rashi has to explain why we would say wine, because wine wasn't outstanding. He sent him wine because that would be a sign of respect to his father. Wine is something that old people, old wine would be something that would be beneficial to old people. However, to say that, so why doesn't Rashi bring that the beans as the first interpretation of what he sent? No, because it doesn't fit the storyline. The storyline is that he sent him something of honor, for the honor of his father. For there, wine fits better to that point. So therefore, but wine is a problem because it says he sent him from the good of Egypt. Doesn't fit so well in those words. So he brings the second pshat, right? It fits more, it fits better the words. He brings first though about wine because it fits better the whole content of what's going on here. That Yosef sends gift to his father in order to respect him, and wine fits that criteria best. Okay, chapter 8. Now, even according to the Pirush, they sent him Gidisim Shalpo, he sent him split beans. It makes sense that he didn't just choose something just because it was the good of Egypt. There must be some content in why he sent him that thing. So Rashi says, this is coming from the Medrash HaGadol. He doesn't just say another interpretation of what means the good of Egypt is XYZ. He said, no. The Medrash tells us he sent him Gidisim Shalpo, pieces of beans, split beans. In other words, in a midrashic way, you can find a reason why the beans were sent. And the explanation is like this. Yosef knew that when his brothers come back to Egypt and they tell their father that Yosef is still alive, so that great news is also going to cause a great issue. And it has the potential to cause a great tsar, a great pain. What's the pain? Now his father will find out that the brothers sold him. Now, in the footnote, the Rebbe goes into some discussion about did Yaakov ever find that out? There's the Eir HaChaim says yes. Ramban proposes that Yaakov never really knew that he was sold, that the brothers had sold Yosef. The Rebbe says that from Rashi we see that later when Yaakov blesses his sons before his passing, he makes reference to the selling of Yosef in the poetic and prophetic way. He makes reference. So, from simple reading of Chumash Rashi, Yaakov, by finding out that Yosef was alive and realizing that story he had been told that a wild beast had eaten Yosef never took place, he now understood what had taken place. So Yosef knew this is a source of great anxiety for his father. This is possibly a very, very painful piece of news for his father to get. So he tried to minimize or to get rid of, mitigate any pain that he would cause. How did he do that? Because even if he doesn't find out that he was sold by the brothers, he doesn't have that pain, but still the pain of 22 years of separation is still very, very powerful. And Yosef wanted to find a way to try and minimize that, put some context into the separation. So therefore, we can say also that this is why when Yosef sends the message with his brother, he says, tell Yaakov, this is what your son, so says your son Yosef. Hashem has placed me to be a lord, a ruler over the whole Egypt. In other words, Yosef sent the message, Hashem did this. And I'm not upset at all. I've reached a position of power and prominence, and I can see clearly that this is from Hashem. So in other words, he's telling the brothers, tell our father in a way that he shouldn't be, he should see that I took it well, and that it led us to something fantastic, that I've been put in the position of power of Egypt. And that's why he also sent him these beans. Because with this, besides the fact that we mentioned earlier, the beans have some kind of a therapeutic effect, there's something that beans have, the Medrash says, that they take away pain, I'm guessing some kind of a therapeutic effect. Besides for that, he's also hinting to his brothers, he's also hinting to his father about some of the background as to what the separation, how the separation is not necessarily a bad thing. He was trying to hint to his father not to be upset that he had sent, that he had been sold to Egypt. And the Rebbe adds in a footnote, In this way, Yosef wanted to also cancel out the suspicion that Chas v'Shalom, his father may actually curse the brothers for having sold Yosef. The Rebbe adds here, just to bring a point from a sefer called Levusha Eira, one of the commentaries of Rashi, that you couldn't really suspect that Yaakov, with anger over what happened to Yosef, would curse his brothers, because would curse his other sons, because then he would. Lose his sons. It doesn't really make sense, but still, in all, Yosef was sending things that should minimize this angst and this pain. So one of them is pushing the therapeutic aspect of the beans, and another thing is, and also the way you're telling him, tell him that I became a lord over Egypt, so he should see that this led to good things. And another thing, the reason why pieces of split beans are a choshev dish in Egypt, are an important, prestigious dish in Egypt, is, you know, why am I sending you these split beans? Because it's a prestigious dish in Egypt. What does that mean? That even though, how do you make these this dish? The beans are actually split and they're cooked. And I don't see that he says here this, but I'm thinking that it's cooked only to a point where it still maintains its separateness. It's not made into a paste. It's not like a hummus where you grind the chickpeas. It's actually, the delicacy here is the individuality of the beans. The beans are actually cut, split, and then they still maintain their individuality. In other words, some things, through cutting them and keeping them separate, that's how they get their prominence. That's how they become even better. Similarly, Yosef was telling his fathers, because the brothers of Yosef had sent him to Egypt and he had been separated from them, good came out of this. For Hashem sent me, says Yosef, to be a source of sustenance before you. And Yosef, Yaakov, he's sending a subtle message. Yaakov, to his father Yaakov, don't be upset that I was sold and we had this separation, or that you and I were separated for 22 years. This brought a great good and a greater good. According to this, we can understand that why Rashi doesn't say why he chose to send the beans. Why? Because the moment he writes this is from the Medrash, he's already telling us that this is not a simple pshat. Look for the agadic reason why he would have sent them beans. There's some deeper intention here. And this is an agadic reason, because he was showing him that the separation he shouldn't be bothered by it. It brought to something better. And now the Rebbe adds, now you can ask why, according to the first pshat, that he sent him wine. How do we answer this thing? How did Yosef try and minimize the pain, the sorrow that Yaakov may have when he finds out sending beans was a message, the separation was good for us. But according to the first pshat, that he sent wine, where does that matter get taken care of? So first of all, we already said, the messaging was, tell father that because I was sent here, I became the king over Egypt. So that's already an intellectual explanation that Yaakov shouldn't be so upset, to mitigate the pain of Yaakov. Another thing is that even according to this first interpretation that he sent wine, we can say that in the mozen he also sent other foods. Doesn't say exactly what. We can say that included the beans. Why should we say, and this will help, why should we say there's a machlekes about the fact, what he sent? So no. There's a machlekes just what's meant by the words that he sent, Shalach Kazois, from the Tuv of Mitzrayim. But it could be that even according to the Pshat, that he sent wine, he also sent beans, and that was also Tuv Mitzrayim. So, yeah. Okay, so I want to just, I want to take... I want to read this pasuk from the Kehas Chumash, okay? Fantastic. The translation of the Kehas Chumash, you're going to see, it takes the whole sikha and puts it into the translation of this pasuk. Since Parai, okay, this is, again, a lot of this is written in the non-bold. The bold is the actual translation of the words. And then there's a lot of non-bold, but all what the way the Rebbe learned this whole story is written in here. And I'm going to sum it up, which is going to make it easier for us to understand if I sum it up by reading the translation of the Kras Chumash. Verse 23, in chapter 45. Since Pare was sending a gift to Yaakov, propriety dictated that Yosef also send him a gift. And since he was his son, it would be proper for his gift to be even more valuable than Pare's. Therefore, in order to indicate that his gift was designed to exceed Pare's, now we come to bolded letters to the actual pasuk, he sent his father a gift similar enough to the one, back to the commentary, he sent his father a gift similar enough to the one that Pare sent to indicate it that they were meant to be compared, but different from it in two significant ways. Firstly, whereas Pare had sent 10 animals laden with grain, Yosef sent 10 male donkeys laden not with grain for relieving hunger, but rather with Egypt's finest delicacies, aged wine and split beans. Besides being delicacies, aged wine is particularly enjoyed by the elderly, and split beans alluded to the nature of Yosef's separation from his family. Just as split beans can be eaten only when they are separated, Yosef's separation from his family also proved to be for greater good. Secondly, Yosef sent 10 female donkeys laden with grain. These 10 donkeys matched Paro's gift, while the 10 male donkeys laden with additional delicacies doubled it, quantitatively and qualitatively. Besides the gift, Yosef sent bread and other types of food served with bread to his father and family for the journey to Egypt. So this is a masterful weaving in of the way we've gone through the questions and answers, why the Rebbe comes to this conclusion in the understanding of the Pasuk, but it's really masterful. It's a Kahos Chumash, you can find it on Chabad.org. It's the interpolated commentary. Okay. Chapter 9, now the Rebbe learns, Miyein HaShoter, the wine of Torah. A deeper level here than what we can learn from the Rashi. L'cheira, Kasha L'cheira, we have a question. He sent him old wine. If you send something to somebody, you want to make him feel good. You want to give him pleasure. So you want to send something he doesn't have. Right? You want to send him something he doesn't have, because then that's going to be a dear to him. So how did he know that Yaakov didn't have wine? And in Canaan, there's no shortage of wine. Why is he sending him wine? By the way, in a footnote here, you may find a beautiful pshat here. Going back to the story of Eliezer going to look for the shidduch for Yitzchak. And that is, it says that Eliezer gave gifts of food from Eretz Yisrael, gifts of fruits from Eretz Yisrael to Rivka's mother and brother, right? How do we know? How does Rashi know they were gifts of fruit from Eretz Yisrael? But now we understand why. Because you send something to somebody else, you send something he doesn't have, right? Now the question is, even if you're giving it just to the brother and mother of Rivka, this is not a big ruler, even so, you give them something they don't have, right? And in a star down below, the Rebbe says, but why would he send, why did Yaakov send to Yosef food items from Eretz Canaan? That's what you sent to a Pare? So the Rebbe says, first of all, he didn't just send food. He sent food that's mizimras Eretz, from the outstanding things of Israel. In other words, things that belong to be on royalty tables. And also, it was a famine. There wasn't food around. So sending a gift of food then was something special. But at any rate, the premise for sending food from country to country is you want to send something that person doesn't have. But we know this today. When you go, sometimes you go from province to province, country to country, especially with keeping laws of kashrus. Sometimes there's a kosher delicacy that you have here and you don't have it there. So you bring it. It becomes important because you don't have it. Why is he sending him wine? If you say he sent him the Egyptian beans, good. We understand that in the time of famine, I'm sure it's going to be a good thing to send Yaakov. But if you say he sent him old wine, how does he know that this is going to make Yaakov happy? The answer is that based on what we already know from before, it says when the brothers came to Yosef, they drank wine with him to the point of inebriation. What do you mean they drank wine with him? He says, because from the day they had sold him, they were mourning what they had done and they hadn't drank wine. And Yosef had never drank wine. That day together they drank. That's for 22 years, the brothers hadn't drank wine. And you understand, and Yosef didn't drink wine, which means it wasn't about teshuvah. Well, Yosef didn't have to do teshuvah or anything. It was because of pain. If who had even more pain? Yaakov had pain. So they understood that Yaakov, who was mourning for these 22 years, the disappearance of Yosef, definitely didn't drink wine. So now you can understand how this wine is going to be such a pleasure for Yaakov when Yosef, the missing son, the reason he didn't drink wine for 20 years, is sending him old wine. Ah, this is going to be a true enjoyment. And so according to this, we know that there's another reason. We can say that there's another reason why, according to the Yen, at least according to the wine of Torah, we can say another reason why Yosef sent wine. Not just because old people, elderly people enjoy wine, of old wine, it's going to be, you know, calming to them. But also in this way, he was sending a hint to Yaakov that even while he was in Egypt, he had not lost his trust in Hashem, that he will still be reunited with his father. And therefore, even though he hadn't drunk wine, because he was in agony and pain for not being able to be reunited with his father, nonetheless, he had wine that had been put away and kept for a long time, until it already became old wine, in order he should have wine available when the reunification happens. And this is a lesson to us all, says the Rebbe. Even when a person is in a situation of Mitzrayim, of Egypt, in other words, of constraints, of tzoras, he may be suffering, and he may be really bothered by things that are going on, and rightfully so, and they're disturbing him from serving Hashem, he's not allowed to give up hope that the situation can and will change. On the contrary, he has to have faith in Hashem, bitochin gam, strong trust, that for sure Hashem will make him successful, even in his materialistic things, in a way that those material disturbances will not disturb him from serving Hashem, from doing Torah mitzvahs. And in other words, Yosef Pashut had a bottle of wine. He had wine waiting for this celebration. When somebody's in a time of in a time, he has to have wine waiting for the celebration. Yes, in other words, he has to have faith that it will be overcome. That's one era. Another lesson. This is regarding the matana, the gift that Yosef sent to his brother, to his father, which was not according to what Pari told him. Pari said, "This is what I'm sending." Again, the Rebbe already said halachically there's no issue why Yosef can send more, because once Pari is sending, we understand that it now behooves Yosef, and we would assume that Pari understood that too, behooves Yosef to send double. To show, if Pari is sending that, then he obviously to his father, according to his position, and his father, he has to send double than that. Okay. But we didn't find that he asked Pari explicitly for Rishus. And the Rebbe quotes in a footnote that from the commentaries, they learn in this story that why did Pari say, "V'ato tzuvesa, you are instructed to do this, send wagons," because Pari knew Yosef, that Yosef wouldn't spend Pari's money just like that. So he's telling him, "No, I want you to do this." In other words, Yosef was not just carte blanche. He didn't act in a way just doing whatever he wanted with the budget. He was very careful. Yet when it came to spending money to send to honor his father, to do the mitzvah of kibud avayim, Yosef did not pay attention to the usual restrictive behavior that he had regarding Pari's, regarding the budgets that really belonged to Pari. And he did the mitzvah with the greatest hidur. Pari sent 10, he sent double 10 and better stuff. This has to be a motto in our Aveda of Hashem. When a matter of Torah mitzvahs comes to us, of doing Torah mitzvahs comes to us, we shouldn't put into our mind, we shouldn't pay attention to the limitations and the constraints of this world. We should do the mitzvah behidur. In other words, if I may try and understand this, even if usually a person is more restrained in his spending and usually is more mindful of what others around him would say, and so on, when it comes to a mitzvah, a person has to try and do the mitzvah the best way, and I would say throw caution to the wind in the context of leave his usual natural inhibition to be spending in that kind of way. It's for Torah mitzvahs. You see, Yosef was, according to the commentaries, Yosef was very mindful of how he spent money, Paris money, I guess the national coffers. When it came now to show, to do the mitzvah of respecting his father, he was largesse. And the Pasuk emphasizes the largesse of Paris. Continues and concludes the Rebbe, and according to this anhoga, according to this kind of behavior, so not just will a person be matzliach in his successful in his aveda and his work and his service of God during Torah mitzvahs, but also all of his physical things will also, all of his physical pursuits will also be successful. In other words, his behavior in, I guess it's going back on both things, both having faith and trust in Hashem, even when he's got difficulties facing him, he. Just like Yosef. Yosef had wine waiting for the good times because he never gave up hope. Similarly, we have to always always behave in that fashion. And that will bring us success also in our physical lives. Amen.